Senate Revenue Committee would like to open a work session on House Bill 3183. Members, the B14 does the R&D, or does the single cells in TriMet. If we adopt the 15s, you include the modified R&D with single cells and the TriMet.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Starr.
I move the -A15 amendments to 3183.
Senator Starr has moved the -A15 amendments to Senate Bill, House Bill 3183. Is there any discussion? Tara, please call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Rango?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Gary Owen?
Aye.
Senator?
It's an aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Starr.
I move House Bill 3183 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 3183 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Ringo.
I just want to clarify our discussion up here, and since I don't have all my paperwork in front of me, the amendments that we just adopted include the single sales, the R&D, and the TriNet payroll.
The modified R&D. So your fiscal in the first year is 16. I think it rolls up in the second year, but it bumps it to, 750, the R&D?
Okay.
R&D.
Yeah. Since it's not set for 2012.
47.
Yeah. 47 years. Have you made the motion?
I have.
You have. Senator Nelson, what we have before us is we're about to vote on 3183. The amendment that we have adopted would include the R&D, the single sales, and TriMet. So it has all three portions in there that we contemplated earlier.
That sounds very good.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a reasonable package to send before the body, certainly much more than what we had before. I think we've already had a lot of discussions about the importance of the TriMet opportunity to leverage $400 million in the future for construction, not only what that means in terms of transportation and completing the transportation infrastructure, but also for, needless to say, the jobs that that $400 million will create. I think the single sale, which is controversial and certainly arguments on both sides of that, I think deferring any impact of that change till the 2006-07 year and the impact on this biennium of zero and 2005-07 down to just $5.7 million is certainly much more responsible in the economic balance that we've been trying to achieve. And then the $11 million impact on the R&D, which doesn't have as many advocates maybe at the moment in terms of lobby, but is very, very important because they're small companies. They just can't afford to have their voices heard. But in terms of what that could mean to bringing companies to Oregon, small companies that hopefully will become big companies, and then put in the $11 million that would be perhaps have an impact on. One thing we don't know, but we anticipate, is the growth of businesses in Oregon. It's very, very difficult to look at what that actual growth of income revenue will be by successful companies coming and growing with R&D in the state, all of which will be subtracted from even that $11 million, and hopefully at some point would be a very strong positive. So I think if you take those two together, knowing there's no impact on this biennium, and then even in the 2005-07 biennium, the total impact, potential negative impact of the revenue picture with both pieces is $16.8 million. And I know it's very important we keep that below 20. Plus sending the messages to small companies that we would like to have them come here to Oregon. And I think we still send that message, but with a lot less impact financially. And I think if we look at everything together, it's a good package, and I will support it.
Thank you. Other comments? Tara, please.
Hi.
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 It's an aye. I think that sends a good signal to, especially given the turbulence in California right now, good signal to companies about Oregon and places of business. We will open up a work session on House Bill 2747.
Carry for that one, did you?
I'll carry the bill.
How many? Can I ask a question to the chair? How many votes did the last bill you carried get?
Majority.
Makes me a little nervous, but okay, Mr. Chair. I was just curious.
We'll be fine. Open. Look, do you want to?
Yeah, Chairman Jacket, I'll go through.
B-15.
We've kind of already touched on that with the. But just so everyone's clear, this doesn't just include the hospital provider tax. It includes all the provider taxes that we've been seeing this session. So it's basically allowing all of them to go into law, providing 2747 is passed and signed by the governor, so that there is no concern if 2152, which has two of those provider taxes, is referred to voters. So this just makes a standalone bill for all these various provider taxes. And just to summarize it, basically they all have a lot of the same components, but at the end here you do see that there is only a transfer of $12.5 million from the long-term care provider tax. That's the only change to general fund revenues in the 03-05 biennium budget. All rest of these funds are going to be put in suspense accounts with DHS, and then it's put in all each one of them different provider tax accounts. And then those are used, as we heard discussions, to increase their reimbursement rates as well as increase the service level for these different facilities. So basically, it's going to leverage additional federal funds, but the other funds will not be transferred or anything to general fund. So it doesn't really affect you in your budget situation. Now, with your B-16, let's just kind of dive into that a little bit. Now, this is your estate tax amendment. Now, your B-16, it is, and I've got in here, too, just so everyone's clear what you got in front of you. I gave you just some background just to make sure everybody's clear. We've been going through this a lot in the House, but I know here in the Senate we haven't been going through estate tax. But it's been a very large heated discussion in the House and with the governor's office. And so basically, to make everybody clear, we really need a fix in current law because there's been a lot of ambiguity on what is current law for the Department of Revenue. Current law, we're currently tied to the pre-1997 federal estate tax. Okay, that, and we also have from legal opinions that our federal exemption limit is fixed at $600,000. Well, what we've had is 97 law changes as well as 2001 federal law changes dealing with estate tax. So we really need to get the past fixed as well as look at the future and how we're going to treat estates. So that's what this bill does. The B-16 is one version of just trying to connect with the prior year's tax law and forgiving any tax liability that may be out there because we didn't realize that we were really fixed at a federal exemption limit of $600,000 versus what we thought we were connected with 97 law changes where they were ratcheting up from $600,000 each year all the way, it would have been all the way up to $1 million in 2006. But even in 2001, then we had additional changes in the federal law, and that brought the filing threshold all the way up to $1 million in 2002. So right now, for the past 2 years, we've had a difference in filing thresholds between our current law of $600,000 versus federal law of $1 million. So this is just clarifying, you know, prior years that if, you know, decedents did not realize that our filing threshold, you know, was $600,000, then the Department of Revenue doesn't have to go out there and basically try to get at these closed estate accounts. It forgives any tax liability there in the past. And it does that also for tax year 2002 because, again, tax year 2002 is already passed. You get 9 months in which to file your estate tax, but obviously we've already passed that in 2003. So we've given the decedents in 2002 connection dates of $1 million and filing threshold amount, same as the federal government. And then also another component of this is in basically in tax year 2003, it's providing that you're going to be able to go up then to the $1 million, and then we're going to, in 03, have a multiplier, which basically is going to increase the tax on the estates that are above $1 million in order to compensate for the fact that in 02, we didn't collect on those estates that were between $600,000 and $1 million. So in 03, the multiplier is 1.34, and then in 04, it's 1.38. And in 04, you move up, and the filing threshold is 1.5 million. So we are connecting with that federal law exemption limit of 1.5 million. But that's where we stop. In this particular version, we don't go any higher than 1.5 million. Under federal law, in 06, it'll go up to 2 million, and in 2009, it'll go up to 3.5 million, but we will not be connecting with those federal law changes. We will just be staying at the 1.5 million. So everyone's clear, that's what your bill is with the dash B16. It makes it revenue neutral by keeping the filing threshold at 1.5 million, but also keeping this multiplier in place. So what it's doing is shifting the tax burden to the estates that are larger than 1.5 million. Now, this table here just gives you some examples, and I just want you to be clear. So, you know, if you do get questions on, you know, basically how this is going to change, this is what this table can help you see. Basically, with the second column here, I've given you the change in federal tax. And as you can see, the change in federal tax, this is comparing the 97 law versus the 2001 law. So basically, there's quite a large reduction in estate tax at the federal level for estates, because they're not only increasing that threshold amount, but they're also decreasing the top tax rate. And that is, and that's also listed here, these decreases in the tax rate. It goes down to 45% by 09. So anyway, that's what column 2 does, and then column 3 shows you current law, how much you would be collecting on, like, an estate of $900,000. You would be collecting in 03, $25,680. Now, under this 2747, what we're doing is we're connecting again to the $1 million threshold in 2003, so the estate tax on a $900,000 estate is zero. And so then you have a reduction of $25,000. But this just basically combines the federal law and the state law, so you can get a little better understanding of what you're doing. But you are shifting the burden of the tax to the higher estate. So, like, say, in 03, on a $1.25 million estate, you would normally be paying $45,740 in Oregon estate tax, but you will be paying, under this bill, $61,426 for a difference of an increase of $15,586. This is to compensate for the fact that you've gone to a $1 million threshold and have not kept it at $600,000. So that's basically, you get the idea. But you can see the federal law change is quite large for some of these estates. Like a $4 million estate has a reduction of $1.3 million in the 09 when you have reduced that top tax rate down to 45%. So there are some real significant cuts in the federal law for estate values.
Let's see if we have questions. And we'll have Deborah Buchanan from the Department of Revenue talk about that. But do we have any questions for Elizabeth on that one?
Yeah, and the other just important point to realize about this particular estate tax proposal is that it does continue beyond January 1st, 2010. The estate tax is to go away at the federal level, but this would continue the estate tax in Oregon on in the future. So there's no sunset on that. And this again, has no revenue impact in the 2003-05 biennium or any future biennium, because we are basically setting this threshold at 1.5 million, then we're adding a multiplier back to increase the taxes on the higher estates above 1.5 million.
How about the B20s?
Okay. So the B20s is the film and video, and this is the same as you had in Senate Bill 313, and it roughly is a credit, and it's $2 million of biennium in the 0507 biennium. And the other one, the B18, is just a technical fix to House Bill 2152, and it's just dealing with the timing of filing for the S corporations, and
it's
something Department of Revenue requested. And we do have it in Senate Bill 231, but it doesn't hurt to have it in this bill too.
We need it. We do need it in both bills.
It doesn't hurt.
Good one, Bill.
Okay. Let's. Well, we've heard about the provider. Anyone else need to talk about the provider tax, hospital provider? Questions about the hospital provider? Okay. Estate tax, Ms. Buchanan, would you like to come up and give us Department of Revenue perspective?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. Mr. Chair, we do need a fix for prior years, and we need some direction for future years as to how you would like us to administer this program. And if you'll just bear with me, I'll give you a little bit of history on this. The 1977 legislature enacted a change in the inheritance tax for Oregon. They began a 10-year phase-out of the existing program and moved to using just the pickup tax, as it's called, which is you simply pick up a credit that's allowed on the federal return, that becomes the state tax. So that has been the law in Oregon since 1987. As you probably remember from discussions about the reconnect bill, the disconnect bill, and so on, we have an ongoing tie to the definition of federal taxable income. We cannot have a continual tie to definitions in federal estate tax law. Based on advice from legislative counsel, and the Attorney General's office agrees with that. In the inheritance tax statutes, there have been amendments since 1977 to those statutes at different times over those years, resulting in different connection dates to the Internal Revenue Code. So an estate in 2002 could be required to go to the federal law, the Federal Internal Revenue Code, as it was in effect in 1987, to determine whether or not they need to file an Oregon return. They go to the law in effect in 1997 to determine their state tax. They go to the federal law in effect in 1999 to determine whether or not they have an addition to the Oregon tax for a deduction that they never received in the first place. So that is the situation we find ourselves in because we don't have a date of connection. We cannot provide guidance to practitioners and estate planners on how they should plan, and we honestly don't know how they're supposed to be filing. So we really need something from the legislature to give us direction as to what they would like us to do.
What would be the consequences, I guess, if we did nothing?
Mr. Chair, if we did nothing, there is one statute. The filing requirement is in ORS 118-160. That section provides that no state return is required unless a federal return is required. We interpreted that to mean that no state return is required in 2002 unless you're required to file a 2002 federal return, which means estates less than a million are not filing an Oregon return in 2002. That is an ambiguous statute. We're not certain that that interpretation is correct. The attorney generals have told us it is defensible. If that interpretation and policy were changed such that you would have to file a state return even when you're not filing a federal return, there are attorneys who disagree with legislative counsel's interpretation and the attorney general's interpretation. They have informed us that if we attempt to do that, they will file a lawsuit and try to have it resolved in the courts. So if we go that direction, we're probably looking at litigation to resolve the question. In addition, we have a difficult time telling taxpayers how they need to file the returns because of the different connection dates in Chapter 118.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Buchanan?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Corker.
I'd like to get Mr. Shekatoff up here to comment on this.
Good idea. Mr. Shekatoff? Well, let me make sure for any other questions for Ms. Buchanan.
Well, I'd like to do it while you're up.
Thank you.
You'd like Mr.
Respond.
Okay. Chuck?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chuck Shekatoff, Oregon Center for Public Policy. We agree with the department that it should be cleaned up. I guess I would disagree to the question that was posed on what happens if nothing happens. I think it's sort of bizarre. I haven't talked directly with the Attorney General's office for them to say that under the Oregon Constitution we don't connect automatically to the federal law, but a statute on the books that says you'd only file if you have to file under federal means federal law as of today. because that's totally inconsistent legal opinion. So I just can't believe it. I think the department has been misinterpreting that statute through their forms and otherwise. And maybe on the advice of the Attorney General's office or two different sections of the Attorney General's office, but to say, which I think is correct, as legislative counsel has said, that you don't do automatic reconnect means the law when that statute was passed, that, it was, that you never acted. You clearly didn't act in 2001 when that legislation passed. So you never connected to EGTRA and therefore the 2001 federal law. So to use 2002 federal law as the threshold of whether you have to file is absolutely bizarre. And I really don't think the Attorney General would take that position. I do think it does need to be cleaned up, and to put it into their proposal that they turned in was at the beginning of session was to tie it to TRA 97, the Taxpayer Relief Act of 97, basically forgive the estates that may have to pay more, sort of clean up the problems that have happened in implementation. And then the problem with their bill was it then returned for deaths as of January 1 of this year back to pre-TRA 97, a date certain. And I think that we should just tie to TRA 97 would be a fine cleanup and continue that out into the future. That's pretty much been the practice. That was sort of the practice they were advising people of likely that they were going to be seeking from the legislature during the multiple special sessions. And so cleanup would be nice. I don't think, you know, if the world won't end, or excuse the pun with the estate tax, no one will die if no legislation passes. They've gone on already. They didn't solve it last legislative, you know, special sessions. But it should be cleaned up because there is confusion. They're likely, they may get litigated. I don't think you can avoid some estate tax lawyers going to litigate anything they can to try to get the best for their clients. But I think it'd be better to tie to a set date like TRA 97 and keep it there.
Senator Corcoran.
So I guess my question practically is this fixed revenue contained within the hospital piece already as the amendment, or is it a separate?
If you adopt the amendment,
it's not a separate, it's not two distinct amendments.
It is. The provider is B-15,
okay.
And then the estate tax is B-16.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I guess, Mr. Chekatov, you answered he did what a typical lawyer did, just confuse the hell out of everybody. So, I mean, are we going to be hurt by having this in, or are we going to be helped by having this in?
I'm not exactly sure what the technical fix does for the future. I haven't seen that. If it's fixing it for deaths prior to January 1 of this year, that would help you because it would get rid of the uncertainty that's out there with the states that have been sort of waiting for a fix for over a year.
Is that correct, Ms.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, yes, the amendment would fix the prior years. It's my understanding that it also gives direction for deaths in 2003 and later to tie to federal provisions with a cap on the maximum exclusion amount that can be reached.
But do we have to tie in with that as the feds go down? Are we tying into that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, the federal exclusion amount is increasing gradually to $3.5 million. The amendment, as I understand it, would cap that at $1.5 million, which is the amount that is reached in 2004 at the federal level. So in 2004 and 2005, it would be an exclusion amount of 1.5. In 2006, when the federal increases to $2 million, the state would stay at $1.5 million, which means that we would continue on administration, essentially almost a separate system as theirs continues to increase.
And that's why it's revenue neutral?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, I believe it's revenue neutral because there's also a multiplier that is applied to the tax in order to capture the revenue loss from moving to the $1.5 million.
Well, if it's revenue neutral, why don't you just move it?
Further questions for the panel?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, we have B-18, the technical. Just any questions on the B-18, the technical fix? B-20s. Do you want to come up also, Howard?
Sure. Let me know. one way or another.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Veronica Reinert. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Film and Video Office, as you may remember. The B-20 amendments to House Bill 2747 are basically the program that you saw in Senate Bill 313. The dates have been pushed a year so that there is no revenue impact in this biennium.
Okay. And you checked with the House Revenue Chair, and they are receptive to this amendment?
Yes, I met with Chair Shetterly this morning and have spoken with him just about 10 minutes ago to reconfirm that he was fine with that.
Okay. Mr. Levine?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senators. I'm Howard Levine from the Governor's Office. The only thing I would add to this is that the Governor strongly supports this bill. He believes that bringing films to Oregon is very important for the state's economy, and that right now this will be the only incentive program that the state will have, and we're competing with a lot of other states, and we know we have Thumbsucker now, and The Hunted, I think, brought in about $30 million to the state. But without this bill, we're really not going to have any way to compete with other states, and so the governor strongly supports the passage of this bill and understands that it will not have will not actually be able to start using the credit until 05, and we recognize that.
And you still think we'll be able to find films? And
Well, we're going to have to also perhaps look for other ways to. We've used the Strategic Reserve Fund in the past to help, and there may be some other possibilities, but we certainly need this bill as well.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Howard mentioned the film Thumbsucker, which is a funny name, but it is about a high school kid who sucks his thumb. And I just wanted to clarify for anybody who wasn't familiar with that project. It's the second project that we have brought in by using an incentive similar to what we're proposing in this program. Part of the issue with continuing to try to use strategic reserve funds to do that into the future is that it's not really marketable. It's a case-by-case basis, and I can't go to L.A. and really market a set program that's predictable and is something that everybody can say, oh, that's the way it works, which is what other states and certainly Canada are able to market. So that's why we need the bill.
Questions? Great. Thanks.
Looks like you got the votes.
On all of them?
Mm-hmm. On all of them.
Okay, I think we're ready to go. So what's in play is B-15, B-16, B-18, and B-20.
What about the B-17?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we can do the B-17 if you'd like. Yeah. Close your face.
I'd like to, personally, if the committee would like to do it.
Yes. It's passed the Senate floor already, hasn't it?
23 votes.
Yeah.
B-17, who's that?
That's the venture capital tax relief bill.
I will... I would maybe hold off putting it, and it's my bill. I think it's a really good idea.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, it belongs to the body.
it's the body's bill.
It's August 25th, for Christ's sake.
But I don't want to give the folks with the provider tax any heartburn on their ability to pass this.
Yeah.
And I think that one might, I don't know, had 22 bucks. I certainly am of mixed emotion on that because I see the value in it. We're in work session.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Starr.
Move the B-15 amendments to House Bill 2747.
Senator Starr has moved the B-15 amendments to House Bill 2747. Any discussion? Chair, please.
Senator Corcoran?
Aye.
Senator?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Ferriola?
Aye.
Becker?
Is an aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the -B-16 amendments to House Bill 2747. It looks like 747. That's a pretty cool number.
It's a jumbo bill.
He's not listening.
I know. I thought that would be
that. Is that jumbo or is that jumbo?
Surprise me. Senator Starr's move the B-16 amendments to House Bill 2747. Discussion.
Tara, please.
Josh Corbin?
Aye.
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Sherio?
No.
Becker?
Is an aye. Motion carries. Senator Starr.
Move the B-20 amendments to House Bill 2747.
Senator Starr has moved the B-20 amendments to House Bill 2747. Discussion. Chair, please.
Josh Corbin?
Aye.
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
No.
It's an aye. That motion carries.
B-18, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farrelly.
Mr. Chairman, I move the B-18 amendments to Senate Bill 2747.
Senator Farrelly has moved the dash B-18 amendments to 2747. Is there any discussion? Is there any?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Starr.
I didn't support House Bill 2142, but I'll vote for this amendment to get in this bill. Apparently, it's a necessary fix. So,
do you want testimony or on the technical?
No,
it's purely technical.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything further on the B-18s?
Mr. Chairman, I'm in the same situation, Senator Starr. But we'll go ahead and help the process move forward.
Great. Thanks. Tara, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Is an aye. That motion carries.
Sure you don't want to do the B-17 together? You got the votes here on the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Recognize Senator Corcoran.
I move the bill as amended before the discussion. Okay.
I really do appreciate that because part of me really sees the wisdom in that proposal.
Maybe the only thing we're doing that could be construed as being positive and forward looking. That's your. You have a gavel.
Senator Farrelly has moved the, Senator Corcoran moved House Bill 2747 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Shit.
Tara, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 It's an aye. That motion carries. Maybe Senator Winters. She worked really hard on the provider tax. Well, Senator Winters carried the bill. And I think this is it. Thank you very much, members of the committee.
This is it?
I think this is our last committee hearing. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the help.
Great job.
We are adjourned.